annals of history.
There has been some mighty trios. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Harry, Ron and Hermione, and the Bee Gees.
Well, sure, there's only one of them now, but you get the drift.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these three men will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Please welcome Scotty, No, I Don't Know Why I Got Fired Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve, Golden Tonsils Payos.
Season 2, Episode 5, the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the crew at the Butcher Shop. Scotty Masters with you.
I'm Benny Edwards, and next to me is no one because Payos is away.
That's right. Steve is still away overseas at the moment doing quality work for the government.
Exactly.
Yes. Quality work for the government. It's got nothing to do with him getting his STD sorted at some sort of... Well, he doesn't have any.
You can't unscramble an egg, Scotty.
I just like putting shit on him. He messaged me last week going, my sex life is ruined. I went, that wasn't because of me. That wasn't because of me at all.
I think it was, man.
Mate, but Steve will be back with us on the show next week, which is great. And, of course, coming in to join us this week is the man putting on your first MMA fight and MFC 25 this weekend. Shane Tipper is going to pop in for a bit of a chat.
Sure, bro. He will be here.
So what is he, Kiwi/Scottish?
Yes.
That is a weird combination, yes, isn't it? We'll have to ask about that.
They're weird with money.
Yeah, well, Scots are reported very tight.
And we're allowed to say that because we've got Scottish blood.
Mate, one of my best mates, Graham, he's Scottish. He's not tight with money. He's always buying beers and coming around here. So maybe God, it's because he's lived here for 5 or 6 years.
Well,
I don't know that too,
but...
You bought the occasional six pack around. Mate, great weekend for Australia in the fighting. Of course, today, the WBO, we're going to talk about a bit later, have come out and rescored Jeff Horn and Manny Pacquiao's
fight.
Must,
I reckon they just listened to the last podcast, go, you know what? Benny Edwards is right.
It was pretty spot on, wasn't it?
That's it, man. I was got it right, man. I told you, man. Things like that catch fire. People just start regurgitating what they hear.
Yep.
And it's not necessarily true. And Teddy Atlas, legend, but mate. He's losing it, man.
Well, did you see what Jeff Horn did on Facebook today when the announcement came out? He tagged all of his famous detractors, like Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, awesome.
Teddy Atlas.
Lennox Lewis.
He tagged them all.
Good.
And went, check this out.
Good on him. Yeah, good on him.
Yeah, good on him. So if it's not Jeff, his social media person needs a pay rise because that was a good job.
Mate, I reckon he gets asked to do a lot of stuff that he wouldn't normally do because you talk to him and you see him on the mic. He's the most polite guy ever. But even the walking stick thing in the ring after, that's just all his management telling him
you
to do that. He's just
people?
A real quiet, nice guy.
Yeah, they're going, you've got to do this. You've got to get a bit of money.
Yeah,
you've
got to create a bit of a buzz. But I don't think it suits him, man. I reckon that's good that he did that.
Yeah.
With the thing today, tagging everyone, because everyone was wrong. They were pumping him.
Yeah.
Took a bit of shine off his moment, but good on him.
Nice. And, of course, UFC 213, Bobby Knuckles did the job.
Yeah, how about that? Australia's got a UFC champ. What a legend. Not New Zealand.
No. Well, that's the thing. I mean, he was born over there, but came out here just as he'd left the womb.
Mate,
he
deserved that victory. Like, his coolness under pressure... He doesn't panic in high stress situations, and his fighting IQ is genius.
Well, I was getting food.
His takedown defense is the best in MMA.
Okay.
He just beat the two most feared grapplers in almost in the UFC, definitely in the division.
All right.
He's a freak, man. Everyone's avoiding Jacare and Romero. And he just went through both of them. What a legend, mate.
Well, going through me on Sunday was food poisoning that I got down the bay. So I didn't see the fight. So I'm actually looking forward. No, true story, man. I got poisoned. The missus got half poisoned. The grandma did. It was awesome.
Yeah, wow.
So I missed the fight. So you'll have to fill me in on it all in
your
segment.
If you missed that fight, there's another fight you'll have to watch that I will be covering. It was in the Ultimate Fighter Season 25 Redemption Finale.
Yeah.
It was the actual main event. It wasn't the Ultimate Fighter Finale. It was a newcomer to the UFC, Justin Gaethje, took on UFC vet Michael Johnson, fight and round of the year candidate.
Wow.
All in 9 minutes of mayhem. It was all, mate. If it doesn't get fight of the year is going to be absolutely insane because this is exactly that.
All right.
On top of that, back to UFC 213, Nunes and Shevchenko was supposed to be the main event. The fight got scrapped on the day.
A bit of controversy around that.
I'll get on that. The UFC has lost a number one contender to Bellator.
Okay.
He's gone for the Viacom money.
It's Bellator, Ben.
Bellator, apparently so.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just a little bit more info on McGregor and Mayweather.
All right, well, we'll talk about all that. I'm looking at two of the biggest things that are going to be on TV in the next week. That is State of Origin 3 and Game of Thrones season premiere, and I've put them all together in a top five.
That's awesome. Mate, you said it was a good one, man. The pressure's on, Scotty.
I think you'll be happy with today's
top five. I've got high hopes, man.
That's coming
up. I'm not going to fake laugh.
Okay, that's fine. It's always a tough room when there's not a third person in here. It's always a tough room.
Payos isn't here to cover for me, man. And you can't edit in laughs.
I can.
Well, no.
All right, well, let's get stuck into the music. And I pulled this one out of the archives. A Melbourne band called Def Rhyme.
I thought it was Defrime.
No, do you know what? I actually heard a guy call them that on radio once. But no, Defrime is the name of this band. They were kind of like a Aussie version of Faith No More, sort of that funk rap metal kind of thing.
I thought you were going to say an Aussie version of LL Cool J based upon the name of the song.
Well, again, they did a cover of LL Cool J's song. And, mate, I want to dedicate this one to you because you're going to do this to Mr. Brandon Sassoli on Saturday night.
My mama actually said, oh, can you stop fighting and get a real job? But doesn't flow off the tongue like mama said, knock you out.
Yeah, yeah. Def Rhyme, let's check this one out for Benny on Saturday night.
Do what your mama said, knock you out. Knock you out. Knock you out. Knock you out.
Mama said knock you out, not by LL Cool J and not by Defrime. How do you say it?
Def Rhyme.
And this is the Give Yourself an Up a Cut podcast. I sort of, that's a pass, 50%
yeah,
a pass.
That's a pass, thanks.
You're Scotty, I'm Ben. And we're thanks to the flat top Ian at the butcher shop.
There you go. Fantastic. Nice work.
I stuttered through that, didn't I?
Speaking of sponsors, of course, the butcher shop not only sponsor this podcast, Benny, they've been sponsoring you in the lead up to this fight. And I saw your T-shirts that you've had made for your corner on Saturday night. You should have got a heap, mate. I've had so many mates. Can we buy Ben shirts?
Mate,
can we buy
Ben shirts? I had every intention to, but the guy that was going to do my merchandise, we had,
some problems.
Had some few hiccups. I had to go with someone else at the last minute.
Okay.
And I had to pay for it out of my own pocket as well. So next time, I'll get, there'll be plenty of shirts for sale.
I've got
one for Ian as well.
Nice.
I'm going to go in there and see him later in the week. Hope it fits him.
I'm sure it will, mate. I'm sure it will. Now, I want to talk about the fisticuffs that probably won't happen on Wednesday night. Of course, by the time this comes out, Origin will be all over bar the shouting for 2017, Ben, and I'll either be kind of happy or really pissed off. Because on Sunday, when the Knights were up by 10 points with 5 minutes to go on Sunday night, I just finished all afternoon on the throne from getting food poisoning, and a mate texts me going, you better put the footy on, put it on, and watched us lose a game of football in 4 minutes. It was shit. It literally was shit. Sunday afternoon was shit.
What a great day.
Anyway, State of Origin 3, as we know, on last night, on this week, and it'll be the most watched TV show this week, and they're saying it's going to be the most watched Origin in history.
Really?
This one, that's what they reckon.
Why?
Well, just Australia's population's growing. More and more people have access to TVs. Plus, it's a decider. No thirst in there. They reckon the Blues can do it. They reckon it's going to be a huge TV audience for this one.
Do you know what the average ratings are?
I actually do. So Origin 1 this year had a combined audience of 4.9 million people.
Yeah, watched cool.
it, you know, which for Australia, for essentially the Eastern Seaboard, it's pretty bloody good. Yeah. Every year in the top 10 in Australia as far as TV shows go, the three Origins are in there, the NRL Grand Final and the AFL Grand Final.
Yeah, wow.
Always in the top 10. We do love our sport. And another show that kind of gets close is, of course, Game of Thrones. Now, that starts next Monday, the season 7
episodes
premiere.
Left. Who's going to win, man?
Well, no, 7 episodes this year, and then they're doing 7 again next year. They're splitting the final season over 2 years, is what they're doing.
Ah, what?
Yeah. Didn't you know that?
No.
They reckon on Monday night, over 800,000 people will tune into Foxtel alone to watch Game of Thrones when it comes on. And then Australia, we download more copies of Game of Thrones illegally than anywhere else in the world, and they reckon there'll be over 150,000 illegal downloads.
Yeah, not surprised.
So you just know, that's a lot of viewers between those two shows, and somewhere in Aussie TV hierarchy, there's some guy in a suit with a ponytail who's scratching his chin going, how do we bring them together? Well, I'm glad you asked, ponytail boy. It's time for this.
And now, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's another Give Yourself an Uppercut. Top 5.
It's the top 5 ways we could combine the biggest TV event and the biggest downloaded show in Australian TV this year, okay?
Can I guess? Guess one?
Sure.
Put the mountain in front row.
No. All right. That's that. Everyone would think.
No, they wouldn't.
And
man.
The mountain's dead.
I'm a genius. Yeah. Right, is he? Is he?
Well, I don't know.
Is he dead?
Actually, no, he's not. He's the black guy in the armor now, isn't he?
He's bluey green.
Yeah, bluey green, yeah. Black.
He's algae.
He's rotting.
I like that.
All right, number 5. Instead of having Grinspoon performing to a pre-recorded backing track before the game, have the White Walkers butcher Grinspoon before the game.
That'll get the crowd pumped up.
Wouldn't it?
Bit of bloodlust.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's what the footy is. Number 4, everyone remembers the Red Wedding. Why don't we have the Blue Wedding where Laurie Daly marries Mitchell Pearce? Because seriously, that's got to be the only reason I can think of as to why he keeps getting selected. He obviously does that thing Laurie likes.
I thought you were going to say we need to get someone to poison Gus Gould's wine.
That wouldn't be a bad idea either. Number 3 of the top 5 ways we could combine Origin 3 and Game of Thrones. Replace useless Game 2 turnstile Jared Hayne with Brienne of Tarth. Sure, she's a fan of the head-high tackle, but geez, she'd add some starch to the Blues' backline, wouldn't she?
she's
massive.
Yeah, she's a big
She's lady. Awesome.
Good breeding stock, man.
Oh, man, could you imagine the kids you and her would have?
Oh, my God. Caesarean.
Number 2, nobody can say Blues reserve Tom Trbojevic's name quickly, because let's be honest, it's got too many letters. Easy fix, just change his name to Tom Hodor.
I thought you were going to say Mr. T.
No, just Tom Hodor. That'd work, wouldn't it? And number 1 now, there's the drum roll. In the top 5 ways we can combine Origin 3 and Game of Thrones, It seems the Queensland team's already taken a leaf out of the Game of Thrones universe because just like Theon Greyjoy, they've already got a dickless grub in their lineup. Good job, Josh Maguire.
I saw that coming.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters,
Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve Payos.
Ben, our wonderful sponsors, The Butcher Shop, who help us put on this podcast every week, have also put plenty of food in your belly in the lead up to this big fight on Saturday night, my friend.
Scott, that's right. Why did you address me like that?
I don't know.
That was weird, man.
Was it?
Ian, you're a legend, mate. Thanks for the food. I'm pumped up, man.
You've been eating plenty of the butcher shop steak and chicken, all the protein you've been smashing over the last couple of
The lamb things, yeah.
And look at you, and weight's dropping off you as well, so it's good, healthy food.
Down to a slim trim, 124 kegs. Yeah. Started at 140, so it ain't bad.
That's pretty good, man. So you got 4 kilos to drop this week.
Yeah, I'll just be water. I can do that in an hour.
An hour?
Yeah. I just cut my carbs, cut my sodium and all.
And that'll fall out of you in an hour. There you go. Fantastic. Well, no matter what diet you're on, whether it's the diet like mine where you just see food and you want to eat it, or you like Benny's where you're
training. And they got mad eggs. They got real eggs there, man. Yellow ones.
Grassy's grass-fed eggs at the butcher shop. They are sensational. And, of course, if you've got a pet that you love, like every time Ben comes around here for the podcast, my Staffy Slash just about rapes you with love, pretty much.
And he doesn't have any nuts, and he's still...
Yeah,
he's still super horny.
He's very jumpy, isn't he?
Yeah, I like that.
And they do some awesome stuff at the butcher shop for your pets. So if you treat your pets like your furry children.
Heaps of big bones and stuff in there.
Yeah, they cold smoke bones. So they're not cooked, so they're still good for your dogs, but they've got lots more taste in them.
And is that so they don't splinter or something?
Correct, because cooked bones splinter. So these bones aren't cooked, but they are smoked, so you can give them to your dogs. And they have the dog logs as well, which is a sausage they make out of chicken carcasses.
I thought it was something else.
No. The dog log is chicken carcass, vegetables, and some chicken mince all put together.
They got everything, man.
Yeah. So whether you're feeding your pets or feeding a fighter who's just about to embark on MMA glory, get down to the butcher shop. Dixon and Kayleen is the place to find them. Dixon is open 6 days a week. Kayleen is open 7. Get in there. Get it down your neck.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
All right, well, I spent most of Sunday on the toilet because I was poisoned by a restaurant down at Bateman's Bay. I won't name
them
this
shame.
Week. Nah, they're near the bridge. Let's put it that way. Just near the bridge there. Okay?
On the corner?
Maybe.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
That's the only one I've eaten at, and the ice cream shop.
No, not in the main drag.
Oh.
Not in the main drag.
Chinese?
Near the bridge, no.
Not Ray's Chinese?
No, Ray's Chinese is awesome. It's another place at Bateman's Bay and made me very
place?
Sick. I shouldn't have eaten the duck and chicken terrine, Ben. That was the killer. That was the dead set killer.
Lay off the duck, man.
So I missed UFC 213 on Sunday, Ben. So tell me what I missed, Ben.
Well, the main event itself was supposed to be for the women's bantamweight title between Amanda Nunes, the lady that knocked out Ronda Rousey, taking on the raging Kyrgyzstani Valentin Shevchenko. They had the weigh in. Everything was all good. They got rehydrated, and Amanda wasn't feeling too good. She saw
sinuses,
the doctor.
Apparently.
Yeah, but the doctor, she got the all clear from the doctor. Still didn't feel well on fight day. Went and saw the doctor again. Got the all clear and just decided not to fight. Dana White, I thought he handled it pretty well, but we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. But here's Dana talking about it.
He was not a happy man, was he?
Well, who does that, mate?
That
obviously.
Was well said. He obviously bit his tongue there, but the fact that he said he would never put that on as a headline event again.
Oh, she's ruined it, mate.
She's bitten the hand that fed her.
Absolutely. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, you've got the main event slot. You're medically cleared to fight.
Yeah.
And, man, you show up, man. That's the best thing about Conor. He's showing up when he hasn't been 100% more than once. He shows up, man.
Yeah.
You show up when you're not 100%. That's what part of being a fighter is about.
Well, as you've said on plenty of times, if you're not going into a fight with some sort of niggling injury, you probably haven't trained hard enough.
And you're a fucking pussy. Basically. So, mate, I actually feel sorry for Shevchenko out of that whole situation. She was looking on fire.
Yeah.
And again, she doesn't cut. She cuts a pound.
Yeah,
nothing.
That's it.
She trains like a beast, man. I really love watching that girl fight. She will get her shot later. In the year, and I believe they said she's still got paid $70,000, so
70
still better
grand
than nothing.
Not even stepping into ice space.
But it's
training.
Still 3 months of work, and she moved to Denver for it, so it's a lot of outlay for that. But Amanda didn't get a cent, and rightfully so.
Yeah,
in my opinion, I reckon Amanda should be stripped. If you're medically cleared to fight,
and you
sign the contract,
up,
and you don't go through with fighting, you haven't defended your belt.
Yeah,
I just feel and the crazy Joanna Young Jacek, two weight divisions below 115, said I'm good to go, I'm ready to fight, but they couldn't get the medicals done in time, unfortunately. So I reckon she was just a bit stressed about the 5-round fight. To be honest, she probably wasn't feeling 100%.
Yeah.
It is a 5-round title fight. Shevchenko's a grinder. She comes on stronger the further the fight goes on. So I think she was worried about that. Now that leads me into the actual what turned into the main event: the New Zealand-born Australian. Well, we finally have a UFC champ, as I said before.
How good is that?
Absolutely stellar performance from Robert Whittaker. What a legend. Hurt his knee straight away.
I've seen that on replay. I've seen the kick.
Joe Rogan calls it an oblique kick, but oblique is the heel facing up. So the foot was facing down. So I think it's actually just a side kick to the knee.
Yeah.
But as with everything he does, he keeps his cool in high stress situations. And even when he's in a bad spot, you know, if you're getting wrestled by a silver medalist from the Sydney Olympics, powerhouse, super athlete, still keeps his cool, doesn't forget the basics. Now, the first two rounds, Romero won. There's no doubt about it. But you could see Whittaker was good. He was keeping his cool, stuck to the game plan, and came on to win the final three rounds.
Mm.
Just an absolute class act all the way.
Yeah.
He's slated to fight Bisping. Speaking of class acts, not class acts. He's scheduled to fight the actual middleweight champ, Michael Bisping, later in the year. He's now on an 8-fight win streak, won $350,000 for his effort, and they'll tear that contract up and give him a new one now that he's the interim champion. So good on you, Robert Whittaker.
How do you reckon, just on the surface now, him and Bisping, how's that play out?
Mate, I reckon he just fought the two guys that everyone's avoiding, the two best grapplers in the middleweight division and two of the best in MMA. It's they're in the top four, 100%. It's them, Damian Maia, and Vadum.
Yeah, okay.
They're the four best grapplers in the UFC, probably in MMA as well.
Yeah.
And he just went through two of them, and he's Australian. We don't have grappling backgrounds. Mm. We're a striking background.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So Bisping on paper is a much better matchup for him.
Yeah, right.
And he's faster, he's younger, he's got power. Obviously not as many Ks on the clock as Bisping's got half an eye.
Yeah.
But Bisping's tough as, fit, comes to fight. Should be an awesome fight. And I don't think either of them's going to want to take it to the ground.
There is talk it may come down here to Australia.
Yeah, possibly. Bisping's fought here a few times. I was there when he fought Vanderlei at the Sydney something.
Yeah, UFC 110. Kodos Bank Arena or whatever it's called.
Yeah, whatever it was called. Ben. Yeah,
yeah, nice.
So that was awesome. So,
all right, well, let's have a little listen to Rob post-fight, shall we?
Let's.
Rob, congratulations, of course, for an incredible victory by you tonight. You've been working so hard to get to this moment. I imagine you haven't had much time to sit down and reflect yet, but can you just tell us what the emotions are like having finally earned this belt?
it's pretty good to start with. It's an accumulation of a lot of effort from a lot of different parties. You know, I have the best team in the world. I've said that every fight, and I truly mean it. You know, Henry Perez, Alex Prates, and Alex and Fabricio Witte. You know, those three guys you see in every fight, and they're always with me. They're very smart. They got me through this fight. You know, this fight was very hard for me, but I have a lot of team back home that, you know, don't get a lot of credit and don't manage to get over here, with Justin Fischel, Justin Lang, Stu McKinnon. Those boys really look after me, and there's you know, I have the best team in the world. I've said it before.
Thanks for covering for me there, mate.
That's all right.
I forgot to send you the audio. That was a solid 24 hours ago.
But great chat from him. So
he's just one of us.
He handled it really well.
What a great bloke, man. Couldn't happen to a better dude.
Yeah, nice.
Now, on to the ultimate, the day before the Ultimate Fighter 25 Redemption main event. Obviously, the Redemption finale was won by JT Money. Like, absolute, that's the true redemption story. Got kicked off the Ultimate Fighter 8 after he'd made the final, went on a drunken bender, kicked the window out of a limo, and got fired before he could even fight in the finale. He won $290,000. What an absolute legend. Good for him. But the main event stole the show.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this fight,
I haven't.
You got to see it. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
Because it was a free-to-air fight.
All right.
It's Justin Gaethje, the newly signed to the UFC, Justin Gaethje, the former World Series of Fighting champion, was on an 18-fight winning streak going into this against UFC fight Michael Johnson. Now, fight and round of the year candidate.
Wow.
In his 18 fights, he'd only gone to two decisions, and he was taking on 16-fight veteran Johnson. So best 9 minutes and 48 seconds of fighting I've seen all year. Now, this Gaethje, he gets buzzed pretty much every fight. I thought I was safety last. This dude puts me to shame. He gets his lights shut off, bounces back, and just keeps coming forward. He is a full-blown berserker. He's like Wanderlei Silva, but upper level.
Yeah,
seriously rate this guy, man. His career is going to be awfully short, but it's going to be just one big highlight reel. I love this guy, man. He finally got the knockout with 12 seconds left in the second round and won himself two performance of the night bonuses, $100,000 on top of his purse.
Nice.
Justin Gaethje versus Michael Johnson. It's on YouTube. Okay. Look at it. It's awesome.
I might actually share that onto our Facebook page.
It might have Russian commentary or something.
That's all right.
But just
turn the sound down and listen to some Van Halen.
It is. You're old, man.
I know.
And more UFC news. The number one ranked middleweight, Gegard Mousasi, who I trained with when I was in Holland, great bloke, on a firefight win streak. He's been signed to Bellator. He was up. He fought out his contract, got all five wins on his contract. He wasn't happy with the money the UFC was paying him. At the time he finished up, he was on $90,000 to show, plus another $50,000 win bonus.
Okay.
He is the number one ranked middleweight in the world, in the UFC. They've just lost him. So who knows how much money Bellator is paying him with the Viacom money. Yeah. But, mate, that's a really big loss to the UFC.
Yeah, possibility of 150K a fight. I mean, it's not Conor money, but it's not bad money.
Yeah, it's not bad, but when you're the number one guy in the world, five-fight win streak, and he was complaining about Mark Hunt getting paid like 800, but as Dana said, Mark Hunt sells out stadiums. And Gegard's kind of stuck in the same boat as Lennox Lewis.
Yep.
He's a kind of a guy without a country. He's got Iranian, Armenian background, born in Iran, grew up, lives in Holland. You know what I mean? He's sort of a bit from everywhere.
So there's no parochial fight.
Yeah,
fans
there's no like
him. Yeah.
Connor, yep. Ireland. Yep. That's it. Yep. He doesn't have that behind him. There's the same with Lennox Lewis. Is he English? Is he Jamaican? Is he Canadian? Because he spent a bit of time there. He's one of those people that just not one nation really wants to get behind him, which is very sad because he's an absolute sweetheart of a guy. Jeff Horn and Pacquiao.
Mate, how good is he? I was trolling Filipinos all day on social media today.
And, mate, I'm the biggest Pacquiao fan ever. I got all the shirts, but they're Pactards.
Yeah, they are.
That's the terminology.
Just, some bird today in Philippines, just after the result came up about the WBO, she's gone, yeah, but we all know who won the fight. And I just wrote underneath it, yeah, Jeff Horn, the WBO said so.
I said that. Everything I said last week was true.
Is what happened, yeah.
I feel sorry for Jeff losing a bit of the shine in the moment.
So five judges scored it independently. No one knows who they are. They're all done. And so one of them gave it to Pacquiao. There was one draw and three of them gave it to Horn.
Yeah, 7-5, which is about what it should have been.
Yeah.
I mean, as I said, man, the punch stats don't tell the story of the fight.
And that
was proven. Good on Jeff Horn.
Yeah, nice.
Now,
finally,
some extra Mayweather and McGregor news. Words come out today that one of the reasons why Mayweather might have come out of retirement, not just to shut up McGregor and get his 50-0 and beat Rocky Marciano's record, he's got a $100 million tax debt.
That's right.
That's got to hurt.
It's hard to pay your taxes when you can't read.
Man.
And it's a true story. Like, the guy is obviously an idiot with his money. You see him wandering around with trolleys in the street full of cash.
Just his watch collection and his cars. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And, I mean, you don't mind someone that goes on to be a supreme athlete in their chosen sport spending some money on the nice things in life. That's fine.
Yeah.
But for a guy like him that's got everything
excess.
That opens and shuts
excess.
And to have a bill like that just proves that, one, you're an idiot, and, two, you need someone smart
as if you
managing
wouldn't stay
your money.
On top of it. See, I said to you in one of the later episodes last year that I think Mayweather's got some good people around him now. He's doing the right thing. Apparently not.
No.
Because he's had tax problems 2003, 2005, 2008, and 2011.
Yeah.
Mate, 1st of July, get in there.
Yeah.
Go see an accountant. I'm sure we'll book you in.
It's like 15th of April over there, I think, is tax
time. Is it?
Time.
Oh, it's different,
it's,
is
it's,
it?
It's different from here, yeah.
Well, he'll probably get around to it 1st of July.
He probably
if he
will.
Was, if he was on the board. But so, how crazy is that?
Now,
mate, if I ever make money, if I make 0.1% of that, I'm speaking to an accountant.
Yeah,
I'm getting
course.
A full-time
you have
accountant
to,
on
you
board.
Have to get a money
it's
man
the first
on
thing
board.
You do.
Yep. And, I mean, we record this on a Tuesday night, so we're going to miss the press conference this week, but next week, Benny.
Are we on?
Next week?
Yeah.
I think so. Are we?
Yeah. Oh, I'm on.
Yeah, cool. All right. Yeah. We'll be here. Yeah, right. I'll be here next week, man. So.
I hope I'm on. I might be. flatlined.
No, I don't think you will be. But yeah, we'll talk about that because the press conference is happening tomorrow morning.
It's going to be the McGregor show. The Maltese with eyeballs ain't getting a word in.
Well, Dana White's already come out and said that this is going to be a shit show.
Yeah, and how's that going to go, Dana? They're both going to show up late. It's going to be an absolute shit show.
And he said because Mayweather's people have organised it for a start.
Yeah,
he said, Connor and I are just going to sit there and answer questions.
Yeah.
And he said, but it's going to be an absolute shit show.
It's going to,
I reckon this will be more exciting than the fight.
Maybe. Yeah. It's definitely going to be entertaining.
And I've heard McGregor has been quoted as saying this week that he's going to take out Mayweather in the fourth.
Well, if there's a finish in the first six rounds.
Yeah. Kavanaugh reckons it'll take eight. Coach Kavanaugh reckons it'll take Connor eight rounds.
Yeah, I don't know. I reckon the longer the fight goes on, obviously the better for Mayweather. And the longer the fight goes, the more Mayweather gets to understand Connor's rhythm.
Correct.
He gets to download the software
and
understand him better. I reckon if Connor's got a chance, it's definitely in the first six.
Well, I reckon Connor's not fighting like a boxer. Like he'll be boxing, but they reckon it's going to be so much different to anything that
Mayweather's
taken on.
Exactly. That's why he's got a chance. The MMA distance, boxing distance, and kickboxing difference, it's different for all three.
Yeah.
And Connor, he doesn't have boxing habits, but he's got striking ability, timing, precision, speed. It's gonna be a fight, man. Whatever you old boxing heads think, it's gonna be a fight.
It'll be interesting. Why'd you look at me when you said old boxing heads?
Oh, it's just
I know I mentioned Van Halen before, but come on, man, I'm only 44. For
You're
Christ's
an old
sake.
Metalhead.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Stevie Payos is still on the chlamydia trail somewhere around the universe. We're not sure where
You've
it
ruined
is.
Ruined his sex life.
No. Steve ruined Steve's sex life.
Come on, man. No.
We love it.
We've got to change the name from the chlamydia trail.
Okay. All right, what's he doing overseas then?
He's working for the government.
See, that sounds dodgier, doesn't it? So in this week, as a special guest to join us on the podcast is Shane Tipper, of course, the man putting on MFC 25 this Saturday night. Benny Edwards' debut in the cage. It's what it's all about, and he joins us. Good evening, Shane. Thanks for coming in.
Evening, brother. Thanks for having me.
No problems. Now, you've had a fair bit to do with this big, ugly fella across from me for last couple of years, and... looking forward to a big one Saturday night, mate. Are you pumped?
Oh, yeah. Can't wait. Like most people in Canberra and even across the nation, we've had a lot of good feedback. A lot of people outside of the Canberra and the Monero demographic actually trying to get tickets for the show or trying to find out a little more.
Yep.
Is it going to be live streamed? All those sorts of things, you know, the things that they've caught me off guard with.
Yep.
I knew with Ben Edwards making his MMA debut in the cage was going to be popular, but I didn't know to what extent, and it's taken off, like you wouldn't believe. Like we're literally out of ringside tickets.
Yep.
I think there's one out of 18 corporate tables still available and 100 out of the 250 general entries. So I'm in all honesty, I'll be surprised if it doesn't sell out before Saturday night, before the doors open.
Okay, so this podcast is out on a Thursday morning. So, Benny, you'd be pretty happy. It looks like you're going to be fighting in front of a full house.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that, actually, because, you know, the people that still have a bit of faith in me, you know, because my last couple of fights in Canberra, my last couple of fights, full stop, were, you know, I wasn't what I used to be, that's for sure. Even my last boxing fight, I still had some personal things going on.
Yep.
My last two kickboxing fights overseas, they were duds.
Yep.
But I'm back now. I'm training the house down and... I'm going to repay people for keeping the faith in me.
Well, as I said to you, man, I've known you for a lot of years now, and when you and I started this podcast last year...
We met at the Canberra show.
Well, we did, yeah. Back when I was on the radio and I beat you that day.
I don't remember the results.
The two contests you and I have had, I've won. But if I was standing in the cage in front of you on Saturday night, you would poleaxe me in about 3.5 seconds because, dude, you are looking... I haven't seen you this fit since you won the Australian heavyweight boxing title, and you've just a light switched on. I said it halfway through last year, you could see that fire was back, and you'd sorted all your shit out and everything else, and you're focused and you're ready to go.
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate. As I said, MMA is so much different to train for. I'm probably a little bit fit. I'm definitely a lot stronger physically in the gym and wrestling strong than I was for my Aussie title fight for boxing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've got the same fitness. I'm probably hitting a little bit harder than what I was for that too. So I'm really looking forward to getting in there. It's been a long time coming, man. I first spoke to Shane about fighting on one of his shows over 18 months ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah. So it was a long time. And the first show we did together, the boxing show, you know, it wasn't – I was still sort of getting a bit of rust off, still sorting my things out, but now we're full steam ahead.
Yeah, nice.
That was a show that had to happen so people knew Ben was still around and he was still interested and he hadn't fallen off the fight scene.
Was that the one where your opponent pulled out and then you had someone else come in at the last minute again?
Oh, yeah. That was, wasn't it? Yeah, the junior. You wanted more money.
Yeah, right.
He waited until the posters got released and wanted more money.
That's a classic that's a classic game in the fighting game. Obviously, Shane, over the years you've been involved with the fighting game, you would have come across all sorts of shysters over the year.
There's some characters, but you live and learn and you know who you quickly learn who to deal with and who to weed out. And you know, there's some good people in the game too. So they're the ones you lean towards every time you know you're going to promote a show, when you know what's coming up, or people will even call and ask, what do you think, can I deal with him? Just tell the truth through experiences you've had. But in terms of, to be fair to Brendan Sinsoli and his camp, they've been upfront and honest about everything from the start. He gave me his word today, he'll be here, he's ready to go. And still swears black and blue. He's walking away. Saturday night is the new.
He will be walking away black and blue.
The new governor of Canberra.
See, that's, word for word. That is talking a big game. Saying you're going to steal someone's actual fighting name and walk out of the town with it. That's got to be a bit of motivation, Benny, doesn't it?
I don't need any more motivation than I've already got, man. There's going to be dudes swinging bombs on my head. That's pretty good motivation right there.
Nice. Okay. And like Ben mentioned to us on the podcast last week, Brandon's already been up front. He's not going to make weight for this fight.
He had not a medical condition, but he was having a few issues just getting things right leading up to the fight physically. He's a lot better now.
Yep.
We pushed the show back a month, built around this main event.
Yep.
That gave them the opportunity to correct what they needed to and become physically and I guess mentally ready to go again.
Yep.
He's accepted that, that he may have had 10 cage fights. This is Ben's first.
He's had 18, including his amateur career.
Including that, okay. Yep. But you're all over it.
Well researched.
But he's also very cautious. You know, he's fighting a four-time world champion. Amongst all the banter, he still respects who his opponent is and what he's achieved in the fight game and where it is he wants to go to now, which is great. You know, we just saw a local boy, originally from New Zealand, but the Australians are claiming. Rob Whittaker.
Shane and I were joking about this during the week. I knew they were going to claim him. I knew it.
He fights out of here, but he's born in Auckland, so it's all good. It's a really good fighter.
How old was he when he
was raised, educated, and
I think he was born there and they're on the plane a week later. I'm not sure. It still counts.
We'll give you back Russell Crowe.
Yeah, all right. And Pavlova. Pavlova and Russell Crowe.
He was raised, educated, and kept healthy by the Australian system.
He was.
Okay, nice. Now, what other fights? Obviously, you know, we know Ben and Brendan is the main fight. What other fights are we going to see on Saturday night at the Rex?
At this stage, 9 other fights on the undercard. Now, week out from the show, things can change. You know, speaking to everyone today, they're good to go, and most people are smart now. They realise you don't spar on a Wednesday night when you're fighting on Saturday and those sorts of things. You're tapering off now. If you're not fit now, you're not going to be fit. So ready to go. And looking at the card, the people that are on there and the gyms, it's where you got to get smart when you're promoting shows, who it is that you actually deal with.
Yep.
And they're all good people and they're honest. So I'll be surprised. It's something like something's happened within the family, some sort of issue like that where someone can't fight. Otherwise, I dare say we'll have the full card that we've got. Undercard strong. There's a lot of locals.
Yep.
Obviously, going out with some interstate fighters, you're never going to find Canberra's a smaller market capture within the fight scene, but it's still strong. You know, we've got some good champs. Like Ben's been a world champ 4 or 5 times. You've got Dave Toussaint, who's making noise. Mm-hmm. Guys like Josh Tonner, and there's others coming through. Yep. You know, there's a couple of others. There's young Elijah. Elijah Ngata, he's actually unavailable due to injury this weekend now, but he's another one that if he keeps at it, you know, he could come through. Young Benny Thompson.
Such a nice guy too, Elijah.
Yeah, he is here.
He's a scary looking dude, but he's a bloody sweetheart.
That fight he had on one of your shows last year, that was like his first fight, wasn't it? It was an absolute weapon.
Yeah.
He's not too bad.
He's
green, but a lot of potential.
Yeah. He wants to do some work with Benny and that'll happen, but it's just timing and Yeah, but the undercard is strong. No one will be disappointed. We actually even finalised the production today too, so it won't just be the house lights on in the Rex.
Nice.
Yeah, we've got to make it a bit more snazzy.
Of course, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we obviously help out with the guys from Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy with their fight night each year, and their production is sensational that they use
in the same room.
Yeah, that's right. So that was the Rex the first year.
The original
year.
One, yeah.
But the Rex is a great room for boxing. It's got that nice low ceiling. And it's got the big screens in there as well. So I think everyone's going to have a great time. But if people do want to grab tickets, if there are, and as we said, there's on Tuesday night when we recorded this, there was one corporate table left, which is $2,000 for a corporate table for 10 people, which includes your grog and your meals and all that stuff. And then, what is there, 100 general admission tickets left?
That's all that's left at this point in time.
Where do people grab them, Shane?
They can either contact myself, just check the Facebook page or either the Monero Fight Circuit. Facebook page,
my
personal page, Benny Edwards.
Yeah, there's links on the podcast page as well.
I don't even know how many are left at Monster Sports. We've sold a few. There's only about 15 to 20 there left today.
Yeah, okay.
So
get onto it if you want to come.
Yeah, it is going to be a great night, and you might be there that first night when Ben takes steps to get to the UFC, which is the ultimate goal. So this is step one of that ladder, Benny.
It certainly is, mate.
Yeah, nice. All right, Shane.
Well, oh, it's a quick question.
Okay.
This is not meant to be culturally insensitive.
Hit me with it.
But what does douche douche to the upage mean?
It's like saying, man, that's awesome.
Okay, so everyone knows.
Because Tim is Scottish Maori.
So Scottish Maori.
Maori Scottish.
There's heaps of them.
Mate, how do you not just walk around punching yourself with that heritage?
Yeah, I get that a lot. The Christmas party's always fun.
Yeah.
The family ones, they get togethers.
There's quite a few of them, man. I spar with Nathan McKay. He's the same.
Yeah,
there's quite
a few, man.
A lot of New Zealand.
Yeah, okay.
I remember when my grandfather passed away and his brother stood up and he said, you know, the big reason everybody moved to New Zealand from Scotland is because it was cheaper. Now, they're renowned
tight asses.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
And nobody laughed. Well, we laughed and he never got it, but yeah. And from there, I don't know.
Yeah.
The Scottish woman caught the Mary Blake's eyes and they all...
Yeah, away they went.
There you go.
Vice versa.
Yeah. Very, very nice. All right, mate. Well, listen, for all Canberra Fight fans, thanks for putting your bum on the line and putting MFC 25 on, because I know there's a lot of people looking forward to Saturday night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
That's exactly what it is. And Benny, this one from my good mate Boppo on our Facebook, and it's something I wanted to ask you anyway, actually, given that you've got the fight on this weekend. Boppo says, what does fight day look like for you, Benny? From the time you wake up to the time Sasoli has been woken up by the doctor, what happens in between? Like, how does a fight day go for you?
Well, usually after the weigh-in, we'll start the night before, start the 24 hours leading into it after the weigh-in, usually go out for dinner with some mates.
Yep.
Try and
smash
stay
pasta.
Up. Yeah, steak and pasta usually. Yep. We usually start pretty late because people are a bit surprised to see me sometimes. Oh, shouldn't you be in bed? I'm like, no.
Yeah, because I'm not going to be sleep.
And I don't mind sleep, but I'm not going to be fine until like 9:30, 10. I don't want to be getting ready for bed.
Yeah.
You know, when.
You don't want to be waking up at 7 and then spending all day awake, do
you?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I usually stay up late, you know, 12, 1, 2, 3, whatever.
Yep.
Whatever I feel like, because I don't have to get up
about lunchtime.
Time. Whenever. Yep. Yeah, whenever. Get up, have some brekkie, usually go do something. I go for a walk around the mall or just go for a stroll.
Yeah.
Just to take my mind off it a
go
little bit.
Go and watch the new Spider-Man, dude. That'll put you in a good frame of mind. It's worth it.
Really?
I had a look at that on Saturday. Yeah, it's worth it.
I hate Spider-Man.
Oh, do you?
Oh, man, I was the biggest fan. Tobey Maguire ruined it for me.
Yeah, no, well, this one is heaps better. With the new kid that's in it, it's awesome.
Is it right?
Yeah, man, this is the best Spider-Man movie they've ever made.
All right, I might do it,
man. Go and check that out.
I might do it, man. So I watch Spider-Man. then have a nap or something.
Yeah.
And then I usually get to the venue with everyone else like at 5:30, but I might arrive a little bit later for this one. I'm sick of just getting there and they're just hanging around doing nothing. So I'll probably get there around the time the show starts.
About 7 o'clock, yep.
Say good day to everyone and then just go backstage and chill out. And
yeah.
I usually have a nap at the venue. I'm one of those people that responds to stress by sleeping. I read an article on it last week. I'm one of them.
Yeah, okay.
And then, four flights out, start warming up.
Yep.
Get ready to go. And
okay. Because you hear stories about that, especially like, you know, we've just come out of Origin. You know, guys like Alfie Lange used to throw up in the dressing room. Other guys would listen to music and zone out. Other guys would sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone responds to stress differently.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a sleeper.
Okay, and that's how it all plays out for you.
Yeah, and I try and nibble on some food at the venue, but you really can't get anything apart from a little bit of fruit or something that's easy to digest.
A little bit of sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to vibe
maybe
you
some
up.
Glucose lollies or something, and that's about it. Maybe a couple of nuts or something, but nothing.
Yep.
Nothing real big. My last meal, main meal, will probably be about 6 or 7 hours before the fight, and even then, that's a struggle to eat.
Yeah, right. So, nerves or just
yeah. Well,
tension.
It's the fight or flight response. All the blood's in your muscles. It's not in your stomach.
Yeah.
So you don't digest food properly on the day.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we've spoken about that before.
Yeah. We have. Yeah, so that's it, man. Let me just get there, chill out, and try and keep my cool. And then 4 fights out, we start warming up and get ready, and go out there and do the business.
And who you warming up with? Who's in the corner? Like, I know you've been sending out a lot of Facebook love this week. So who's in your corner this weekend at the fight?
Obviously, Duke Didier. Yep. He's the head coach. Andrew Mackin, who I've done an awful lot of work with.
Yep.
Used to live with this time last year. Absolute legend of a bloke. He's helped me out with my jiu-jitsu as well. And he's fought Brandon Sassoli 3 times.
He has?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And my big Tongan mate, Bola Latu. He's just there in case there's a riot breaks out. He's my trump card. He's 170 kilos. He's a monster.
I'll be on corporate table 5 with my moon boot. I can kick the shit out of people with this moon boot, son.
Yeah, so that's it, man. You're in.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, to anyone that's coming along, and to Boppo, there you go. Ben stays up late, has a sleep in, watches a movie.
That's pretty much it, what I do every other day.
Yeah, there you go. Nice work. All right. Well, we're going to get into another song right now, and this one is by a fella called Glenn, the voice of Rock Hughes. Now, Glenn's been around forever and a day.
Isn't he the comedian?
No.
David.
Yes, that's David Hughes and Glenn Robbins. Okay. But no, this guy was a former lead singer of Deep Purple and Black Sabbath. He came in the 80s. He was in Sabbath in the 80s. When they sacked Ozzy and all that sort of stuff. And he was in Deep Purple with David Coverdale from Whitesnake. And he's one of the best bass players in rock going around. But the voice from hell, and he's been in Black Country Communion the last couple of years, which is a super group that was put together by Aussie/South African producer Kevin Shirley. And in that supergroup, it was Glenn Hughes on vocals and bass, Joe Bonamassa, the blues guitarist, the absolute legend on guitar, Jason Bonham, John Bonham's son, on drums, and Derek Sherinian from Dream Theater on keyboards.
Yeah, wow.
So they're an amazing band, and they broke up for a little while, and he went and recorded this album. So this song is called Heavy. The drums in this are played by Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then there's a bunch of guys, and the guy on keys in this is Lockie Doley, who's an Aussie guy out of Melbourne, young kid out of Melbourne, who plays Hammond like it's 1970.
So it's a super group, and Lockie from Melbourne.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about. So this song is called Heavy, and it is heavy, and it's bloody awesome. Check it out. It's Glenn Hughes on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, thanks to The Butcher Shop.
It's so heavy. And so heavy. And my foot's down in love.
That was Glenn, the voice of Rock Hughes, with his song Heavy. In there, a super group, and we're the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Ben, you're Scotty.
Very good.
Who are we uppercutting, man?
Mate, we're not uppercutting anyone this week, Benny. We thought we would do a high five.
Ironically, to a guy with mad uppercuts.
Indeed. All right, so on the count of three, one, hey, two, three.
Who are we high five?
Well, let's just do the high five first.
But we don't know who it is, man.
Well, okay.
It's Robert Whittaker.
Of course. One, two, three. There you go.
That was a reason, Murtaugh.
That was
one, two,
terrible,
three.
Wasn't it? That was
we're so white.
Were we going on three, or is it one, two, three, then go? But no, Robert Whittaker, first Aussie UFC champ
what a legend.
Ever. And, taking on a guy that everyone was basically
shit
scared
of. The last two guys.
Yeah, yeah.
The worst style matchup for him possible.
Yeah.
Gets the job done and is still a class act afterwards.
Yeah, that's what
man,
it's all
good
about,
on him, man. So. I really think he's going to get Bisbing, man.
Yeah, and that'll be nice if he does. And that's going to end up being a very big payday for him after that if he does that.
Yeah, well, they tear up your contract when you get a title, so
even an interim title?
Yep.
If you
got a belt, they tear up. I heard it from Chael. Yeah, they tear it. Oh, and I heard it off Brendan Sharp as well. They tear it up in front of you on the night and go, here's your new contract.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so he's going to be.
So what did you say before him?
He got $350,000.
So what would you reckon he'd be fighting for next time?
Probably half a mil.
Yeah.
And with some other incentives there, maybe some pay-per-view or something as well.
Yeah,
I'm not
nice.
Sure. But yeah, because he's got potentially two countries behind him.
That's right.
You know, two countries that love fighting.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well,
love
heard,
UFC.
You heard Shane Tipper just before trying to claim him, even though we know he was on the plane.
I knew that was going to happen.
Before the nappy went on him, so yeah. All right, well, there you go, Robert Whittaker. And, of course, next week we'll be back. So no doubt Stevie P will have something for the uppercut or the high five next week. Stick around. We'll pay some bills and then we'll wrap it up.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
You've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards and Steve Payos.
God bless the interwebs.
Well, it's come to that time in the podcast where we are just about done for another week. I'm Scotty, that is Benny. Stevie P will be back with us next week. And next week's show, well, it'll be an interesting show. It'll be post-Origin 2017.
We're both going to be real happy or real sad or possibly one of each.
It'll be post the biggest press conference in fight history since, I think, Ali.
Yeah,
like, let's be honest.
We're doing it at the Rex Hotel on Wednesday. Oh, you mean Connor?
I mean
Sasoli.
That'll be big in Canberra circles. I don't think it'll somehow be as big as Connor and Mayweather's, just quietly. Not yet. Just
it's happening.
What was it? Keep your powder dry, Benny. You got a couple more fights yet, we're talking that.
Sorry.
When you're taking on Stipe or maybe, who knows, man, maybe
knows?
In a couple of years
who
after
knows?
What happened on the weekend with Overeem, that could be a rematch.
I have that in the back of my head for a little while.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Because he's
I just wanted to get knocked out like three more times.
He's obviously not on the pin anymore. I mean, he looked good the other
mate,
day.
He's
There's
still,
no way over
mate,
him.
He's recovered from that. Like he went through a rough trot there for a couple of years, but his body's natural systems kicked back in and he's been on fire.
Man. Yeah. How did you rate that fight the other night?
He fought very smart. It was a bit of a dud fight.
Yeah.
Their first fight was a bit of a dud as well. They just stylistically don't match up very well. They're both high-level guys.
Yeah.
But, it could have gone either way.
Yeah, you didn't mention it in Biff, but what about what Dana said to Travis Brown at the press conference? I mean, Travis wasn't there.
Yeah.
What have you got to say about Travis Brown? Four
I don't
losses
reckon
now.
That's a bad thing.
And
no, it's six of his last eight.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, six of his last eight. He made $150,000.
Yeah.
Mate, he just hasn't been the same because he lost one fight when he was still at Jackson's, arguably the best camp.
Yeah.
John Jones's camp, a whole bunch of other guns, and lost one fight. Moved to Edmund Tarverdi and Ronda's trainer, the Glendale Fight Club, and just been on a mad
downward spiral.
It's five in a row with him. Yeah. I think he actually won one fight against Brendan Shaw, then he lost five in a row.
Yeah.
So, mate, what a fall from grace. He was the gun.
Well, that's what Dana was saying the other day. He's like, we thought this guy was going to be a champion.
Yeah, and he just lost to a 40-year-old grappler in a striking contest.
Yeah.
You know, it's not looking good, man.
No, not at all. So, it's bizarre the way the fight game works, isn't it?
Yeah.
World beater 1 minute.
Yeah.
Nothing the next.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is. It's going to be a big, big week. So, Benny, again, for everyone that listens to this podcast and everyone in Canberra and Queanbeyan, mate, we're all right behind you for Saturday. Best of luck, dude, and go in there and give him hell, eh?
I will, mate. Thanks very much. I appreciate the support from everyone.
Get a big black dog up. You'll see you next week.
You nearly stole my sign-off line, man.
Oh. I just got to say, get a big black dog up you and leave it at that.
See you next Thursday.
There you go.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed write.
Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing.
And Steve can get all Barry White and seduce the world into thinking everything is going to be just fine. That will happen in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Till next time.
So long.